With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Welcome everyone to the Division 1 show for December. Happy Christmas to you all Division 1 people out there. Welcome to the show. We're doing this slightly different this month because the MPL show lot, they've been, how can I put this, crying a bit about the fact that they've been barred from discussing anything Division 1.
In uproar.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there has been raised words, you know, raised voices in the last 6 months or so. So because it's Christmas, we've decided to give them a Christmas gift and allow them free rein to discuss Division 1 matters, both North and South.
I'll be honest, Ben, I've got nothing to say.
That's the first.
Joining us round the table, funnily enough, it's the same team who were available on this month's MPL show, which is also available through this medium. We've got Phil Brennan from the Non-League magazine. Hello, Phil.
Hiya,
you all right? We've got James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group.
Hello.
Also sponsored by Evil Stick, we should say. We've got Ian Burke from 26-0 and future Division 1 side. No, I can't go with that. Hyde United, hello.
A pleasure to be back, Ben.
Got Alex McKenna from Buxton, from Groundhop TV.
Thank you.
We've got Alan Alcott from The League.
Evening.
We've got Aaron Flanagan from The Mirror.
All right.
2 seasons ago in Division 1 North. Remarkable. Yeah. Look at you now.
Big time, no?
And basically like a crutch being used by a lot of people around the table. It's Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian. In the flesh.
I was going to say, not on Skype. I'm waiting for this moment for us to actually start talking Division 1 North with you.
Oh.
Well, Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian. Hello.
Hello.
Obviously, we're going to start with you because your team that you cover in your patch, Northwich Victoria, currently out in front, Warrington Town still clinging on, but 3 games in hand for Northwich Victoria. It's a remarkable feat, considering the cup runs that they've had as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, 17 wins from 19 games, and the only team still to have taken any points off Vicks is Clitheroe. So why every manager in the league isn't on the phone to Simon Garner to find out what his secret is, I don't know. But they've not learned. The other teams have not learned from it yet. I think when you've got a team that's done that well, the fact that we are going into 2016 and we've still got a title race is take some doing. So Warrington, yes, they've played 3 games more, but they deserve enormous credit for hanging on to Vic's coattails for as long as they have, because we could have been in a situation where it was almost done and dusted, whereas I think we are going into the new year. Yes, it is advantage Vic's, but I do think we genuinely have a title race, which is healthy for the division, definitely.
Absolutely. I mean, Glossop North End, we'll cover Glossop North End in a second or two, but they were involved last month, but they've kind of dropped off now. Warrington Town, it appears, Do you reckon they're going to be the only ones challenging?
Yes, Northwich? I think the others, is too much to do to catch up.
So, if you base it on that, Warrington Town, they've had a phenomenal turnaround from last season. Bit of a blessing not having a decent FA Cup run?
Yeah, maybe so. They were knocked out the first hurdle by RBA, weren't they? And the thing is, they've only dropped 14 points this season. And early doors, they seemed a little bit rickety. So the run that they're on at the minute as well, that's rivaling what Northwich Vic's doing. It's almost a case of who blinks first between them two, I think.
We should just cover off the title now, shouldn't we? It's a midterm show. We'll cover off the title now. Who's going to win the title out of Northwich and Warrington?
You've got to go for Northwich. I've seen both of them properly this season, not just against Ratcliffe but against other teams in the area. Northwich are just a completely different level from everyone else at this moment in time. I can't see anyone catching them. I mean, 50 points at halfway through the season as well, and Northwich haven't even hit that mark yet. Both teams would easily hit 100 before the end of the season, and still one of them might lose the playoffs yet. Unheard of in football, let's be honest. 100 points and you don't go up.
You're mates with the Warrington lot, can they do it?
They can do it, whether they will or not, I'm not sure. I mean, Kieran Killeen is flying at the moment, which is no surprise. Once you've got him on all cylinders, though, you've just got 25-30 goals there. Absolutely no problem at all at this level. And I still think he's playing a division or two below where he should be.
Yes,
really.
Definitely. Definitely.
McKenna, your thoughts on the title picture? Where's it going?
I'll let
you make a fool of yourself on the radio. Come on.
I think Northwich, their team is just a different level to all the rest of the team. Because it is quite, Division 1 is quite the difference between Division 1 and Premier League, there is a little bit of difference there, and I think Northwich
the team Northwich got this year, the strongest team in the league.
At the end of this show, towards the end, I am going to mention the gulf between Division 1 and the Premier Division, because I'm not too sure it applies anymore given the past few promotions we've had, but we'll come back to that. Alan, I'll come back to you in a second if that's okay. Aaron,
It's going to be Northwich.
I saw the Northwich against Lancaster in the FA Trophy earlier this season. When was it, FA Trophy or was it FA Cup? I think it was Trophy. They won 4-0. They were just a class above Lancaster, and Lancaster are a half decent team. Obviously they had Jordan Williams, who obviously they're losing, who himself was just outstanding. So it'll be interesting to see how much that affects them. But in the likes of Gary Bennett, who's back there, he started scoring again. The midfielders are contributing. I know in Stuart Cook and Brian Summerskill, they've got two quality central midfielders in there. They're solid at the back. I just can't see that squad messing up with that sort of lead.
Phil?
And you forgot to mention the manager who won't allow him to fail either. I think the one thing in Warrington's favour is we've seen them a couple of times. We saw them get beat by Fylde in the FA Trophy, and they performed really well. And Fylde didn't really have to do an awful lot because they scored the goals well. They scored on the break. But Warrington, the one thing you said, Warrington score goals all over the park. So that's the one thing I will say, that in their favour, because so do Vicks, obviously. I do think Vicks will win it. I saw them dismantle Hyde twice, you know, just different class.
I'll be honest with you, I think a lot of teams have done that
this season. I've said that a few times. No, but to be fair, they did, you know, they murdered him in the first game, and in the game that got I know they only won it by the odd goal, but they could have won it by a lot more. I think Jordan Williams scored both goals, didn't he? And then when they had to replay it, it was as if they just thought, well, we'll just turn up and we'll win this game, and it's a game that we don't want to be playing, but we'll win it and then we'll move on. But Warrington, I think, will push them all the way, although I genuinely do think that one of those teams won't go up.
Oh my goodness, I
think it's too close to call, Ben, and I'll tell you why. I've seen both of them play Witten in over Christmas, and Witten, honourable mention, pushed both of them really, really hard. To be fair, Warrington stole a point against Witten on Boxing Day with a dodgy penalty which Killini took away, and then Witten pushed Vicks really, really hard 48 hours later as well before finally missing out 2-1. The reason I think it's too close to call is Vicks, we mentioned Jordan Williams has gone, who for me is their best player, so they've got a period of adjustment. How can they cope with him going? If they can hold on to the rest of the players, because there can be no doubt that teams higher up the pyramid must have been taking notice of what that team's been doing. Now, you're a player, like it's happened with Williams, a conference club's come in, he might want to stay and be part of a title winning team, but he might not get another opportunity to go and play full time football. Are any others going to be tempted away? That's an important thing in the next few weeks. Also, and I've said it a few times on Division 1, on the extra show, Vicks are still yet to play the teams at the top, so they've put this brilliant run together, and other than Clitheroe, they've not really played anyone at the top. Now, January, I had a look this morning, is going to be quite a defining month, because they'll play Warrington, Ossett Albion and Glossop North End in pretty much successive games. If they can come through that with a decent point haul, even if they don't win them all, then I think it's going to be really difficult to catch them. If Warrington do beat them in a couple of weeks' time, I think it makes it really, really interesting. But I do think Warrington have to beat them in the first meeting.
Do you think, because Sean Reid's something else, isn't he, as a manager, he's going to be winding them up something rotten, isn't
he? Definitely, he already has been in our sister paper in Warrington. He already has had a couple of jives. I mean, Sean Reid spotted a real opportunity a couple of weeks ago when Norfolk lost at Northampton in the FA Cup. Their next two games were due to be away to Spennymoor and away to Bamber Bridge. And coming off the back of the disappointment of going out in the way they did, he really thought they were going to drop some points. Both games got postponed, so there was an opportunity missed there for Vicks to drop some points. This is why I think in January he'll be hoping that they have to go through this run of games, because they're going to have to play all the teams around them. He fancies them to drop points, but it'd be under no illusion Reid thinks that Town can do it this year.
So, Alan, I'm going to come to you last on this very subject.
Andrew's more or less said what I was going to say. We have to accept that all the clubs in the first divisions, there'll be scouts around, there'll be clubs from the higher leagues, they'll be sniffing around their better players. One thing that we all have to accept is Warrington, with their resources, are going to hang on to their players. Now, I don't know about Northwich Victoria, but I would imagine of the two clubs, Warrington have got a better chance of keeping the players than Northwich Victoria do. And if a few players start to drift away from Northwich because of the pound notes, then I think the picture towards March could be completely different as it is today.
And both those teams, if either of them come up, would be welcome additions to the Premier Division, I feel.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
The thing is, with Northwich Vicks, it's not all about Williams at all. I mean, Simo, or what, one of you, I'm not sure, what's it, someone was saying Williams is their best player. I'm not sure he was. The thing is, they've got quality all over the pitch. They really have. There's not a weak point in that Northwich Victoria team. I don't know about Warrington. I'm not seeing them yet this season. But Northwich will be. I do think Northwich will do it.
That's. Oh.
No, I was going to say, I think Williams is their best player, but I think you're right in that the real triumph for Northwich is how the manager has made the team more than a sum of its parts. I mean, they do have good individuals, and I think there's two or three others who can make the step up, but I think the thing that really is striking when you watch that team play is how well drilled they are, how well coached they are, how even from the start of the season you can see how Jim Gannon's improved individuals as well, which, you know, he deserves enormous credit for what they've achieved. And because it doesn't happen often, players move around so much in non-league, to be able to go and watch a team and see players who've improved under someone's stewardship, like some of the lads have in that team. Williams in particular, I think, you know, has really benefited, and that's why he's got his move. And that's their biggest strength. They do have one or two great players, but I don't think they've got star players. Maybe, like you mentioned, Chiellini, Warrington really rely on that star quality he gives them. I don't think North is necessarily do that with any of their players.
One of the things that I think Brano will back me up on here is Northwich's discipline.
Yeah, it's great.
They're not mucky at all, and they've got the brain set so that the positioning's right. They don't have to commit fouls, and I just think they're a really, really well organised unit.
That's the title picture in Division 1 North, I feel. We'll be covering the playoff picture in a second or two. But at this moment, we're going to go to Division 1 South. So, change your windows. Change your windows. Come on.
Aren't Stafford doing well?
Well, in a second, we're going to be hearing from our very own Division 1 South sage, Robin Great, from the Staffordshire Football Show on Not FM. He'll be joining us via Skype in a second or two. And he pretty much confirms what Ian Burke's just said there. Aren't Stafford Rangers doing well? There's not much you can say about the title picture.
When we have been talking about Division 1, I've said the Division 1 North's been the more interesting, they've had the better teams. I think this season, looking at the table so far, this is now the other way around. This could go right, looking at the halfway stage, this could go right to the wire. Stafford, yeah, they are playing well. You look at the teams alone with games in hand. You've got Colville, again, a very strong team, they've missed out a couple of times the last few seasons. Shawlane, first season in, but again, you've got the likes of Adam Jones. Spalding continuing from last season as well. Teams from Midlands never tend to do well in this division, but Spalding keep pushing forward. I mean, as in, like, coming from Midland Alliance, not like the Midlands in back Birmingham and whatnot. Lincoln, again, turn around from them. And then obviously the
don't peak too soon, mate. We do playoffs as well.
I know,
we do playoffs as well.
Just
saying. You're right, though. On the surface, it looks like Stafford Rangers are doing really well, and they are indeed, but you can't rule out Colville Town and Shawlane Aquaforce, who've got the games in hand.
And they've also got Phil Dean on the left wing, former Ramsbottom United Salford City player, absolutely fantastic winger, and Shawlane Aquaforce have got Gavin Allert there.
That's the thing though, with Shawlane, they've acquired players from kind of so many different parts of the country. It's hard to develop a team and keep team spirit if everybody's travelling from different directions. And you saw when Stocksbridge a few years ago had a load of Manchester based players, they only struggled. They had a good squad on paper, but it didn't work out.
But for Shawlane, just to confirm before we hand over to Robin Gray, it's 18 points with 6 games in hand to so but what do we know? Let's hand over to someone who knows everything about Division 1 South. It's now time to introduce you all to Robin Gray.
Hello, Robin. Did you have a nice Christmas, firstly? I did, thank you, Ben. Yeah, and yourself?
Yeah, well, it's been great apart from the cold. Apart from the cold, yeah. I'm all right. So we've got you on because basically those people in the magnet you just heard from, they don't have a clue about Division 1 South. So we needed a sage, a proper expert on to give us his mid-season opinion. Of
no
how
pressure
this...
then.
No pressure at all. But your mid-season opinion on how Division 1 South is going. Now, I jokingly asked you off air just then, but it is pretty clear cut when it comes to the title at the moment. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it seems to be all wrapped up. Stafford Rangers showed their character, to say the least, on Boxing Day when they beat Chase Town by 2-1 with 10 men and being a goal down. So when you've got that sort of character in your side, it is pleasing. There's also been a video going around the rounds of Twitter, actually, of the Stafford Ranger manager leading a sort of chant in his dressing room with his players. So whether that some have seen that as spirit, some of that have seen people, you know, then thinking they've got the job done. But I think it's fair to say that they're nearly there. And I think they've got a strong squad. If players did start slacking, Neil Kitchen could bring in some more. So I think it's pretty much wrapped up. I'm sure Neil Kitchen will try and get them to be, you know, keep their guards. Colville have got 2 games in hand behind them. If they win them, yeah, it could be interesting. But it does look to be wrapped up. I do think that if a team's showing that much consistency in the first half of the season, obviously we're more than half the games in now, I do think that they're getting to the point where perhaps they might be able to say, you know, it's done. But I think, like I say, Neil Kitchen will not want to tell that to his players too much because, of course, if it does go to their heads, Shore Lane have been doing well. They've got games in hand. Colville, a good side, always have been in this division recently, and they'll certainly snap up any opportunity to get ground on them.
Now, we mentioned Colville there. Obviously, Colville at the moment are 9 points back, but like you say, 2 games in hand. So if they win those 2 games, just 3 points behind. Shore Lane Aquaforce is an interesting one because they played, 6 games less than Stafford Rangers. I think they're, my maths is terrible, 18 points behind. So if they win all those games in hand, which is easier said than done, they are level. Could there be complacency that creeps in? Because we've seen teams in any division over the years who have this lead at Christmas, who sometimes the pressure does get to them. Can you see that?
Yeah,
with Stafford?
I mean, in fairness, a lot of people have been saying on the social media rounds that video did show complacency on Boxing Day in their dressing room, which maybe they wouldn't have liked to have got out to the rounds. But I don't think they will be complacent because they've got that consistency driven into them. They've only lost 2 games all season, you know, Ben. So if they lose another 2 between now and the end of the season, then that is their league to have as such. But you know, they lost to Leek Town, which is no great shame. And I forget who the other defeat was against, but obviously losing to Leek the other day. They're games which maybe they want to come away with a point in, you know, difficult away games. But I think credit to the teams behind them for actually staying in it, like Shore Lane. I just have a feeling that Shore Lane won't last it for the whole season. I don't know why. I think it's just newly promoted side. I know there's a lot of different factors in there, including the budget, including obviously other things. But I do think that I don't think that they'll last. I do think Colville are a very good side, and I do think they're consistent, and I do think that they will keep on the heels of Stafford Rangers. But we have seen in previous seasons, if there is an outright runner up until about Christmas time, in this division anyway, they do tend to go on and win it. And I think we might see that this being the same this year.
And Stafford Rangers, I think we've said this on previous Division 1 shows, but they are a sleeping giant at this level.
Oh, and... yeah. They've got to try and climb back up that ladder. You know, they've had a difficult few years. They toyed with managers. They had that dreadful season in the Evo Stick Prem, the season before last, where they were just completely cut adrift. And they tried different ways of trying to get themselves out of trouble, and it was just an utter disaster. And now on and off the pitch in the community and around Stafford, and, you know, they've got, listen, when you've got such a good fan base, you've got so many good volunteers, and that is, whatever people say, the root of a good-spirited non-league club. And Neil Kitchen's bought into that. and I think they'll be able to last it.
Robin Gray there from the Staffordshire Football Show on Not FM.
I agree.
I tell you what, Robin made so much sense there. Yeah, definitely.
Playoffs, though, in Division 1 North, we'll just return to that now. We've got to assume that Northwich, Victoria or Warrington Town are nailed on for the playoffs, whoever doesn't win the league. I mean, that's a given. Who, Andy, then, of the remaining sides in that neck of the woods? I'm going to suggest from Brighouse.
Wow.
Oh.
Next team, wow.
In it?
Yes. That team, they got a reprieve.
Let me introduce them.
Oh, sorry.
In the past, since this show was created, Andrew Simpson has made a point of mentioning, it has been at Albion, not Town, hasn't it?
Yeah.
He's made a point of mentioning Osset Albion, ever so slightly, just a pinch of Osset Albion on every show. And slowly but surely, they've just gone higher and higher, and now they're in third position. It's amazing, isn't it?
Ben, I don't know how they've done it. I saw them earlier in the season in the FA Cup against Charleston, and they were absolutely bobbins. I'm not even exaggerating at all. They were one of the worst teams I've ever seen in my life. But I don't know whether it's a symptom of this division, the Division 1 North this season, how bad that division is, or it's just Osset were on such a rubbish day that day. It was untrue and this, that and the other.
They do score a lot of late goals. They score the late goal against Scarborough to win it and score late goal against Town to win it. They do score a lot of late goals.
What I'd say about Osset Albion, there's an interesting piece in The Guardian about them only last week. They've signed a lad called George Green, who about 2 years ago was the hottest prospect in Everton's academy. It's saying on there he's on £75 a week. Last season, if you said that Osset Albion were paying £75 a week, you said no chance, that's too much money. So whether they found a little bit of investment from somewhere, you know, to help the squad, but they've got a seriously, seriously good player there who's trying to prove himself. Centre midfield, listen, he will look quality on a good pitch at that level. And, you know, I think he will have made a real difference as well. And they've also got the lad up front who, I forget his name,
Boardman,
that's what I'm saying, scored for Wakefield. They'll have a decent squad, but I'm not sure whether they've found a little bit of investment from somewhere, which is helping them along the way.
The best bit about Osset Albion is that their centre-back is the chairman.
That is, you what?
The centre-back's the chairman.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. Great reaction.
I thought it was Gail Platt. Or is that Osset Town? Where's Gail Platt fit into all this?
Rochdale Town.
Their president's sister.
Oh, that.
Really?
That's a link. Osset Albion are in the mix. Glossop North End. We mentioned it on every Division 1 show. They've really adapted to this league, but it's slowly.
They went six without a win before they got the Christmas gift of playing New Mills. So they've picked up 3 points. Is that the chance now for them to turn it around? Because they were keeping pace in the first 2 months with the top two before they hit that bump in the road. I still think they'll be in the playoffs though.
Can I mention Bursko?
Absolutely.
Now, Bursko, they're capable of beating anyone, as they've proved in various cups this season. And look how many games in hand they've got over most teams.
They've won 11 in the past 12. It's an unbelievable run.
What's happened? Does anyone know what's happened at Bursko?
Mark Beasley's made the move to management brilliantly.
Has he?
And he's the manager there, and that's been the key, I think. He's just made that beautiful transition to it.
Bursko versus Spennymoor
on Saturday. Bursko versus Spennymoor,
it's a
hell of a game. Just before we get to Spennymoor, Clitheroe as well, mentioned they're the only team to.
Only team to take points off Vicks.
Mm-hmm. And they're there or thereabouts as well, and they've had a decent season under Simon Gardner.
They've got a minus goal difference.
Yeah, obviously, letting too many goals, that'll cost them.
As long as.
Great, still having a great season.
Success starts at the back.
Turn into your dad.
Success.
Spennymoor Town, we've just mentioned Spennymoor Town. They're still in this playoff picture as well.
Yeah, a couple of times I've seen them, they've not really impressed me at all. I'll be honest with you now. We went up there, they looked average at best. I know they've been getting a couple of decent games in, but they don't look like a team that could make the playoffs, in my opinion. They're dragging the results out, but later in the season, if they get found out by a couple of teams, I think that's going to cost them personally.
One thing that Spennymoor have changed this season is the physicality of the team. Last year they were the smallest team I've ever seen. Every player was 5'6" at the tallest. This year, they've bulked up a little bit. They've brought some big, tall lads in. They've had to change the style of play a little bit too. It's still going all right for them, but I think if they'd have kept the kind of the physique and the style that they were going for last season, they might even be a place or two higher.
And they're in a really poor run at the moment. They got hammered by Farsley 4-0 at Christmas, and if they've got Bursko next, it might not get any better for them. Five without a win, they need to be careful. I think they played really well when they came down to Witten, so I think they will be alright. I think they will get in the top five, but there's a little bit of, we're reading the Facebook page, a little bit of pressure maybe on the manager if he doesn't turn it round.
Yeah. And I'm going to suggest Brighouse is probably the last team who can. No.
Are you saying Kendall are out of it?
I was going to say, as Farsley, I think.
Look at their last three matches.
I think they'll do it.
Three in December, and all the way, was he hit 4-0, 5-0?
Five wins in a row, good signings, good manager. I think they might make the top five.
Well,
what
on earth has happened at Farsley then?
Never mind what on earth has happened at Farsley, what on earth has happened at Bamber Bridge?
We'll come to that in a second. I'm looking forward to
it. So, just before Aaron Flanagan goes, because he's got somewhere to go, just to mention.
He's got to go to the pub.
He's in a pub. Final four for the playoffs? Final three, essentially, because we know Warrington or Northwich has got the other one. Who were the other three?
Glossop, definitely. Yeah. Cliverell going to sneak in there. And I'm going to say Brighouse. I can't see us at Albion keeping this up all season. And they'll start dropping away, but they're my three, they're going to be there. Obviously, I reckon Warrington will be the fourth out of the top two.
Becker?
I think Bursko, Clitheroe, and one of Glossop and Spennymoor.
Okay. McKenna?
I think Ossett will stay there. I think Ossett will stay in place. Glossop and Clitheroe.
Alan, I'll come to you now.
Now?
Yes.
I think Bursko have got a good chance. I think that Spennymoor will always be in the mix, and I'm going to go along with the guy next to me, Ossett Albion.
My goodness.
Can New Mills mathematically make it?
Don't make them up.
Go on. No, I think it'll be as it is now. I think Ossett will stay in. I think Glossop and Bursko are good. I think they'll stay in as well.
Aaron,
they can. New Mills.
Phil. I'm with Aaron. I was going to say that myself. Yeah.
New Mills, yeah.
I think not New Mills. Oh. Sorry. The real Aaron, not the joke Aaron.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that it'll stay as it is, and I'm still convinced that those two that are running away with it, I think one of them will fall apart in the playoffs, because it does.
It always works out like that, doesn't it? And lastly, Simo.
Glossop, Spennymoor, Farsley.
Aaron Flanagan is leaving us now from the Mirror. Thank you for joining us for this New Year's special. Happy Christmas to you, mate. Okay. Phil Brennan is also leaving us as well from the Non-League magazine. Do you want to give a plug on this show as well?
Just basically, the one thing I didn't say in the last one is the website is www.thenonleague.com.
Perfect. And thank you, cameraman Dan.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for everything.
So we're going to be speaking to Robin Gray in a second for his views on Division 1 South, the player picture there. Yes, again.
Let's get it out of the way.
He's still on the phone.
Still wasting
him on.
Assuming there's two teams already taking up the top two positions in Charlane and Colville, I think we can all agree with that. Who's going to make the final two positions in Division 1 South? Too close to call. Anyone got anything else to add other than too close to call?
Leek will be back.
Will be back.
What are we talking about here?
Division 1 South playoffs.
And Kidsgrove Athletic. Because Ben Hughes.
You're going to love Robin Gray this month.
Am I?
Yeah.
All right. Right. Because they've got Anthony Malbon. Basically, he's a goal machine. It would have been a goal machine in the Conference North given half a chance, but it didn't work out and radi-da-da-da. But at this level, step four, you can't stop him. You really can't. He's got too much nous for the defenders at this level. And Kidsgrove are on 31 points pretty much because of him.
I'll do this question now to Alan. Alan, Division 1 South, this season's had an influx of new teams, particularly from the Midlands, I can think of Daventry and Rugby. It's been really good this year, I feel, Division 1 South.
It's a heightened competition. Probably disappointed with Leek. I know they were mentioned earlier that there was a champ, but I'm disappointed with Leek. I'm not surprised at Stafford Rangers. I knew before the ball was kicked that Stafford had a good strong squad and were going to be up there. And the others that are in the mix are the ones that I think we'd have all said at the beginning of the season. It's nice to see Kidsgrove coming up, really. But generally, I think it's a good competition.
Can I go to Robin Gray quick?
No, because there's a shining beacon that you've missed. Jamie Vardy's Stocksbridge Park Steels. They're in 17th place after having played 17 games. They're on 25 points. But look at that. They're only 8 points behind 5th place. They've got games in hand, left, right and centre. If they put a little run together, I mean...
Never mind, screw that then.
It just shows how tight that division is.
He has got a point.
It's such a tight division.
10 points between playoffs and relegation. Lauffer in 25. I know he's trying to get the segue, but you can't really...
Oh, that's a good point. They could get relegated, Stocksbridge.
And on that note, it's now time...
I think the one team that definitely goes to Timidale, they've gone. But
right, wait! It's now time to hand over to our expert for Division 1 South. It's Robin Gray for his views on the playoffs.
So, Robin, back to Division 1 South and the playoffs now. Now, we mentioned Colville, we mentioned Shaw Lane, we mentioned Stafford Rangers. I think it's safe to say at this moment, at mid-term, those three are going for the title picture. So, two of those three are definitely going to be in the playoffs, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think Shaw Lane have done enough perhaps early on to show that they will last it to the playoffs. Originally, a lot of managers who I spoke to in the local non-league scene said that they perhaps thought there'd only be one playoff place up for grabs for the likes of the teams from six, anywhere from six really to I suppose 17th. But looking upwards now, I think Spalding, I know they've lost, I think their star striker and don't have quite as strong size as they did. And I think there might be two up for grabs. Obviously, Daventry have drifted just out of the playoffs. So have Basford. I think it's good. They've got to take confidence to teams below them. I mean, especially for us at Kidsgrove, we're very optimistic now. Yeah, we're 2 points behind. And yeah, some teams have played less games than us. But as it starts to iron out, if you can go on a run, then you can get yourselves in a good position. And that's what teams like us at Kidsgrove are looking to do. Probably like Leek, like Romulus, Basford, Daventry, and even down to probably Belper Town are still hopeful that they can do it. They're only 6 points from it.
Absolutely.
And when Spalding's games in hand, you know, when they catch up on them, and then maybe if Shaw Lane dip, then there could be three. I think that it'll be a very tight race. I think the teams who actually get in it at the end, it'll be down to momentum rather than perhaps skill. At least two of them, I think it will be. And I think it'll be quite an exciting second half to the season on that front. I think that's where we're going to see the action in this division. I'm not sure we'll see many twists and turns at the top or the bottom of the league compared to the playoff picture.
The playoff picture, like you say, it's very... interesting. We mentioned last month, I think, Spalding United, we pretty much said they're in the playoffs because of where they are, but they have dropped the ball a bit in recent weeks. When it comes to Lincoln United are currently there, clinging on. They do have lots of games in hand over everyone else, though.
Yeah.
Lincoln United's an interesting one because I'd suggest that they're the strongest position at the moment, given maybe them and Leek Town.
I think you're right. I think Lincoln, you know, have done well this season, and they'll be, you know, they. I think they're another team that obviously have been looking to try and progress for a while from the division. And yeah, like you say about Leek as well, it's one where with Elite, where now they've had a lot of changes in the playing staff. They've had a lot of, you know, things to. They've changed the lineup. They've changed the system, and I think now they're starting to settle down. That they've got good players around the team. It's about getting that spine back, which got them into the playoffs back-to-back in the last two seasons. They had a strong spine then, and now they're trying to recapture that after losing a lot of players in the summer. And like you say, with Lincoln, when, you know, they've won the last three games now. I know the game the other day was postponed, but that'll be an interesting game. Lincoln against Leek, obviously, coming up in January as well next. But if, like I say, if you can go on a run, that's three wins now for Lincoln in a row. Three wins for us at Kids Group. I think those teams now, if you can get a run of, you know, 5-6 wins together and see where that takes you, you can leapfrog up the table. Because, of course, there are so many... The bad thing about so many teams being tied together is it... you don't really know where you are in terms of, you know, how close you are to get achieving this expectation or doing that. The good thing is a win, and you've got lots of games against teams which are only going to be 2 or 3 points either side of you. And if you win, it is 6 points in some ways. So from that point of view, it's a positive for these teams.
So with 4 months to go then, Robin, who's your pick for the fall at this moment?
Good question. It's a tough one as well, actually. I think Colville, I'd say Shaw Lane. And I do actually think that it might be Romulus and Kidsgrove Athletic.
Romulus and Kidsgrove?
I just have a feeling. I'm not sure Leek have got it to last year. I'm not sure Spalding have got it to last year. Lincoln, not sure. And I can't see Daventry and Basford. Maybe I'm being a bit stereotypical because they're newly promoted, but no, I think I'm going to go with that. I know Romulus are playing an awful lot of games, but I don't think they're a bad side, and I think we'll see. I may fall flat on my face after this.
And the thing about it, though, Robin, you mentioned it earlier, it's going to be one of those plucky teams who puts a late run in, who doesn't suffer that pressure of being in the player positions.
Somebody can slide their way in at the last minute. There's no doubt about that.
There's always one. There is always one, guaranteed.
It actually, this division this year reminds me of the Championship a little bit. It's that tight, you know, a lot of teams who actually want to get into the playoffs, whereas in other seasons, a lot of teams have been happy to sort of stay up to survive. Other teams have been sort of cut adrift going for the title. And this year, it's like an awful lot of teams in that division would have set their expectation at the start, probably, to get into the playoffs. And, of course, when there's only four places up for grabs, it's not that easy.
You know what? I've actually changed my view now after hearing what Robin said. And I fully agree with his assessment.
OK. Yeah. Just going to the relegation picture then.
Let's start.
That's a genuine empathy tone to my voice there. Yeah. It's an empathetic sigh.
It's a strange league.
It's a strange one. New Mills at the moment. I mean, the question was asked, has anyone finished the whole season on a zero? They have. It has happened before. It was always going to be a difficult season.
I was going to say, the last team to do it beat FC and then got the points deducted. So.
That's what, Durham? I love that day. What a great day that was. But New Mills...
This run's gone on so long now that you just don't want to be the team that is the first team to drop any points against them. And
Scarborough's so close. This a couple of seasons ago
at Witton when Droylsden went at that horrendous season in the Premier Division, and they were the first team to beat. Witten were the first team to lose to Droylsden. They were due to play New Mills a couple of weeks ago, and there was, I think, a few nervous faces around Winchin Park, but it ended up getting postponed. But I mean, we don't really want to see someone finish with no points, do we?
No, absolutely not. But currently they are on 0 points.
I think they'll win. I think they'll pick up a win.
Do you reckon if they pick up a win, they might pick up another win? Is that possible with New Mills?
I don't think they will. I've been in that situation.
But they won't beat Radcliffe, or they won't win two games.
They won't win two games. I've been in the situation before with Hyde when we were absolutely abysmal. In fact, for two seasons on the trot, Hyde have been one of the worst teams in the country. And I know how this works. You get used to losing. And all right, I remember going on the radio when we won the game against Welling 2-0 down at their place, the only game that we won the season that we got relegated from the conference. I went on the radio the next day going, oh, it's brilliant, I've had a look at the fixtures and I think we can win 7 out of the next 10. We picked up 1 point. It's just, no, the team aren't good enough, unfortunately. They've got some nice lads there. They've got no money at all. Who can they bring in? I mean, they've got the team from Wythenshawe Town into oversee things. They brought a few fellas in from four divisions below. And, you know, we know what the gap is between the North West Counties Premier Division and First Division. Never mind the Evo Stick First and, you know, they're doomed. I mean, I just hope we can stabilise next season.
We're going to ignore the AGM Cup, which always comes into play about March time when people go, oh, maybe, but we're not going to mention that at the moment. But at this moment, Harrogate Railway Athletic are in that second relegation spot. Admittedly, they do have two games in hand over Ascot Town.
Yeah, but when you're losing every other game, it doesn't really matter how many games.
The thing is, no, they can get some good wins on the day, though. Harrogate Rail, they are capable.
I think they'll get out of it.
They'll get out of it. Yeah. Who's going to get stuck in then? Because
Radcliffe. Here we go.
Well,
will they get Nathan Cartman back on loan or something like that? Do you think?
No.
It's going to be a weird season in Ossett if it's Ossett Town and Ossett Albion finishing the playoffs, isn't it?
Topsy turvy, isn't it?
Ossett Towns are struggling a lot at the moment. Not, I don't mean like financially, but they just cannot get points anywhere. Lost to Ossett Albion on Bank Holiday Monday. When they look like they can win games, it just turns on to them in the last 20 minutes and they get beat significantly, even if they were a better team on the day.
And just to mention for Scarborough. I remember Scarborough being mentioned in September's Division 1 show as some kind of... No, I brought it up because, you know, I was quite excited for them. They were getting the new ground and and it was, you know, onwards and upwards. But they've dropped something. Well,
you've got three teams in the table there together. Mm-hmm. Who, Bamber Bridge, Witton Albion, Scarborough, who we have to say, none of us would have thought would be where they are. Now, Scarborough have made the managerial change. Obviously, we know Witten made the managerial change. Scarborough only just made the change, yeah, so it's too early to tell whether that's going to make an impact. They've lost six games in a row and they're playing Vicks on Saturday. So again, is it going to get any... They just need to be really careful not to get dragged down any further.
I think if you talk about Harrogate Railway, we do have to mention teams like Prescott Cables, Farsley Celtic, Lancaster City, who in the space of a couple of months... I've got themselves out of it, so it is possible.
Farsley, they've been going great guns the last two seasons. They arguably shouldn't have been down there in the first place. Same goals for Lancaster. But Prescott Cables,
super,
absolutely brilliant what they've done. I mean, perennial underdogs in this division. You just expect them to be bottom three, bottom four, don't you?
So, a quick mention then.
Brilliant turnaround.
Who's going to take up that second relegation spot, James?
Right, it's going to be, I hate to say it, but if Radcliffe don't start getting points soon, we're going to get dragged down to it straight away, because I can't see Bamber, Witten and Scarborough staying in that position for much longer. They'll start picking up wins very, very shortly. Farsley have already started doing it. They'll start getting that position there. But Ossett Town look like the biggest team in threat at this moment. Okay. I can see the bottom four getting cut away, obviously including New Mills this year. The bottom four getting cut away soon if they don't start picking up points.
That's the voice of a fan speaking there at Radcliffe Borough. You expect the worst of your team when you're struggling year after year, and I can understand it.
They've got a good result in them, haven't they? Okay,
of course they have. Yeah. Of course they have.
We did get a good win at Bamber Bridge all week, though.
Sorry, is anyone going to answer my question? Who's going to take up that second?
Radcliffe Borough. Sit down.
Right.
Radcliffe
for Mikella.
The only thing I'm going to say with Radcliffe is we've played most of the big teams. We've played Vicks twice. As of Saturday, we've played Glossop twice. We've played Warrington twice. Spennymoor we've played twice before the end of January. So the second part of the season is against the teams down the bottom end, and that's where that season is going to get changed.
You'll pick points up there,
though. Alan, do you want to cover this bit?
Really,
no, good, that's fine. I understand why. It's a bit different from playoffs, isn't it? Relegation in Division 1, because that's essentially to the Northwest Counties, isn't it? So, you know, we don't want that to happen to anyone. Simo?
I think it will be Ossett Town. I think also Droylsden might get dragged back down as well.
Oh, you're right. I'll be with there as well.
I've let in so many goals.
So, that's Division 1 North. Generally, though, happy with Division 1 North. It's shaping up okay. I mean, we've got two very good sides up at the top. We've got a decent run of dark horse candidates for the playoffs, as well as established names. The relegation pitch is a bit messy at the moment, but it's been all right, isn't it?
Yeah, I think. I mean, obviously, I've been watching Premier Division week in, week out for 3 or 4 years, and I know people talk about the Gulf. I think there is a big gap between the Premier Division and the Division 1 North from the games I've seen this season, teams I've seen this season. I do think Division 1 North is slightly weaker than it's been in previous seasons. I think, for example, when Witten were in it last time, we had Chorley, Fylde, Curzon, Ashton, a Skem that was flying. I, with the greatest of respect to Northwich and Warrington, don't think they are as good as those teams we've seen 3-4 seasons ago. But it's fascinating at the same time, because we mentioned Bamber Bridge and Witton Albion, I think are two of the biggest surprises of the season, but for the wrong reasons.
I mean, if you look at the teams this season, the only team I could really, if everyone stayed as they are player wise next season, Vicks are the only team you can see really competing next year.
I agree.
But other than that, I can't see any others. They'd struggle personally.
Warrington's not going to struggle.
Warrington would maybe be fine, but
they're not going to get relegated.
No, I don't think they'd be down there, though, I reckon. Not just Vicks would be pushing. Everyone else.
I think it's healthy, though. Did you see how spoilt you are at the top of the Premier Division to be watching the Blythes and the Ashton Uniteds and these teams?
I mean, now, Salford and Salford Dallas as well. A different
and then you come together. And you, I think you appreciate better, actually, how good a level the upper echelons of Stepford is now.
Yeah.
So, in closing, we've got Division 1 South relegation picture. Like Division 1 North.
It's so tight, it's ridiculous.
I mean,
Ben, you've got 10 points between that last relegation place and fifth.
Yep.
You cannot call it so bad.
If anyone's daft enough to predict a team that's going to finish second bottom of this stage, it's me.
That's
and I'm going to say, Loughborough Dynamo, just because they played more games than anyone else and they are second bottom at this time.
I know we can't really mention the AGM Cup, but you can see this one being like one of the...
Because... If you look at the points tally compared to Division 1 North, it's not normally like this. I mean, this goes to show you how strong Division 1 South is at the moment. It's too close to call.
The only downside is Tiverdale have got a lot of problems at the moment off the field as well.
They lost their squad to Aldridge.
Yeah. So you can't see much. I think Tiverdale will have that definite relegation spot, sadly.
And they're a lovely club.
They are a lovely club, and I do hate to see them go, because they have a lot. They are quite responsive to the group as well. So,
but before we leave the Division 1 show, it's only right that we return to Robin Gray for his views on relegation in Division 1 South.
I love hearing from Robin.
So, Robin, we've delayed it enough. It's now time to turn our eyes to the bottom end of the table, and... like Division 1 North, there's a team down the bottom who it's become pretty bleak for them. Is there any way back for Tiverdale, do you think?
Well, we've talked about it a lot, and I think the last time we spoke, they're about 7 points away from safety, and then before they're about four, and we're saying they might still do it. I think we might have seen them maybe cut adrift now. I know I do follow them on Twitter, and they're trying
lovely
to...
club.
Yeah, lovely club, and they're trying to get you know, hope and things. And it would be great if they could make, you know, really try and stay up, but it's just not looking likely for them. You know, only 2 wins all season. That is partly where the problem lies, and I think they might just be gone at the moment. But looking ahead of that, I mean, I know Loughborough Dynamo are in there, but I think they've had an upturn. That since obviously their manager left, and they got a player in charge and somebody else alongside him now, and they look very good. They picked up a good couple of results. They also beat up us at Kids Grove, and I think they actually will stay up now. There's enough there.
There's always this thing, though, isn't there, with the second relegation spot? There's always the chance that the AGM Cup might save a team who finishes second from bottom. Now, obviously, we're not gonna go into that at this moment. But you have to assume the team who finished second from bottom are going to get relegated as well. Now, Loughborough Dynamo, you said, have had a bit of a turn of form. I'm going to suggest Rugby Town should be mentioned in that bracket, because Rugby Town have been second from bottom for a while. And now, look at them, the 14th.
Well, I think last time I came on as well, I said our manager, Pete Ward, he spoke to a lot of managers, he said to me. And he said that every manager he spoke to and teams who were playing rugby, people had told other managers, rugby are not a bad side. Don't be fooled by their position. And clearly... when you play well and put in good performances and impress other sides, eventually you do get on a bit of a run. And I think rugby have certainly turned that around now. I mean, look at the teams they've leapfrogged into 14th place. And look at the teams below them you have to look at and say it's astonishing. But you know, like we talk about, we don't know whether the two teams go down or whether, you know, one or whatever. But I do think that it might be Carlton Town who join Tiverdale this season.
You see that, listener? I didn't even ask. I didn't even ask him.
I was just... Gresley have had an upturning form. They got a good result the other day. They seem to be on a better play. You know, I think there's enough there for them. Just, I know they've lost some key players, Stebman, the striker, and people like that. I think they've gone through a bit of a time, but I just Carlton have just. I've seen them a couple of times this season. Carlton, I'm disappointed with them. I think they might go. This is where, I mean, you know, knowing this league, it will be completely the upside down of what I've said. I hope you don't play me this back at the end of the season.
No, I reckon it'll be Kidsgrove. Anyway, so there's some other teams down there. You mentioned Goole there, and we should mention Stocksbridge Park Steels. They are down there, admittedly, because they played, well, what? They played 5 games less than Belper Town. They played 3 games less than Gresley. They played 6 games less than Carlton Town. 4 games less than Goole. And 7 games in hand over Loughborough Dynamo. So Stocksbridge Park Steels might be a bit of a false position where they are at the moment. However, they are down there at the moment, but they are a good side as they proved in the trophy this season.
Yeah, I think Stocksbridge again will have enough. They obviously had a good trophy run, and that their record isn't bad for 17 games either. It's just the simple fact of them not having played as many games obviously they would have wanted to, that puts them in that position. So from that point of view, Ben, I don't see any problem for them. I think they'll be looking up rather than downwards. But obviously, I know you did an interview with their chairman, didn't you?
Yes.
Said it was just about trying to get the club on a, you know, sort of a better position and try and progress it for the future rather than sort of stampeding up towards those playoffs and things.
Well, I was going to, the last question to you was going to be to predict the relegation spots, but you've already done that. Tividale and Carlton is Robbie.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't rule out Loughborough still, but I just think that they've gained a bit of momentum. Of course, you don't know with Carlton, you know, what happens there, new players. Non-league football isn't like the Premier League where you can say, where I can come on here now and say to you, Aston Villa will go down.
Yes.
You know, I suppose it would be like that if a team had 8 points, but on the other hand, you have to look at it from this point of view and say, look at the mess, for example, Kidsgrove Athletic were in last season and look how many points they managed to get. If anybody told you they'd stay up at in November last year, people would have laughed. So don't rule Tiverdale out, but I am.
I think the upturn in form at Kidsgrove is all down to the press officer. I'm going to say.
Well, I'd like to think so as well. But they don't like me to talk about it too much.
just a closing thought then for Division 1 South. This season, it's had the influx of new teams like Rugby and Daventry and Shirley and Aquaforce. It's a good division this year, very strong, and there's stories to tell all over the place. So it's been a good opening 5 months to the season, I feel.
It has, yeah. There's been a lot stronger teams in it this year. There have been a lot more surprise results in terms of, you know, teams at the top losing to teams at the bottom. And it makes it a lot more open from that point of view. But I do think that is strongly down to the money that's coming from the teams who have got promoted, the budgets at which they've possessed, and the players in which they've brought in, and also a lot of teams who were in trouble last season, who stayed up in this division, have improved, which maybe means that some teams down at the bottom, like we say at the moment, the likes of Carlton, likes of Gresley, likes of Goole, will probably have felt that they might have been a little bit higher than they are at the moment, but actually have been down there because their teams that they've got now, maybe last season, would have been higher up than at the moment. And maybe it surprised some teams that the strength that's come in, like you say, from the likes of Daventry, Basford and Shaw Lane. And so it has been a good division. I think a lot of the football's been a little bit better as well. I've enjoyed watching teams a little bit more this season. I think, Ben, you know, locally, Leek, Stafford, Newcastle and Kidsgrove. And, you know, here's to a good second half of the season, really. But I think, like I say, the playoff pitch is the one to look at. I don't see many twists and turns either other side of the coin.
Well, Robin Gray from the Staffordshire Football Show from Not FM, thank you for joining us on the Division 1 show.
No problem, Ben. My pleasure.
I've not quite come up with a name yet. Mid-season review. I think that's fine. Robin,
yeah, that'll do.
You have a good new year, mate.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. Good to speak to you.
So, that is it.
Wow, really? For the last relegation spot?
Yeah.
That is it.
Oh, blow the way.
Just to let you know, it's Carlton Town.
Carlton?
Really?
Yes, because he says they've not been playing well at all.
So but you don't know, do you? I mean, it's like Championship Manager. You have to watch the matches to fully appreciate.
But didn't Carlton beat FC United of Manchester?
Oh, it was in the Duton and it was yonks ago. So there you go. Anyway, so that is the end of this Evo Stick Division 1 show for 2015. We'd like to wish all you people in Division 1 land a very Merry Christmas and a very prosperous New Year. And on your behalf, I'd like to thank James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group, which you can get involved with at
facebook.com/groups/the MPL or on Twitter at the MPL group.
And I've noticed there's a few more from Division 1 South coming on the group now.
There is, especially from the teams that have come from the Southern League as well. Fair play to the Basford and Rugby Town fans that are really getting involved. I can't wait for them to start doing the awards for it as well, because that's going to be interesting this year.
Ian Burke from 26-0 and of course Radio Manchester, thanks for joining us on this special Division 1 show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Ben. Been a pleasure.
Alex McKenna from Groundhop TV, thank
pleasure.
You.
Pleasure, always.
Alan Alcock from The League, thank you. And Andrew Simpson, job well done, thank you for joining us from the Northwich Guardian. How can people follow you on Twitter, by the way?
Just at @Simo_on_sport.
But from everyone here at The Magnet, you take care and have fun wherever you go in 2016 to watch your MPL Division 1 side. Take care.
Yeah.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.